Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
The Heat culture shocked the Celtics in the most surprising victory of the postseason so far. We will tell you why Miami may have revealed the key to taking Boston down. Now, plus, the Lakers are back in LA in a must-win game three tonight. Will we see the Lake Show or the fake show? Uh-oh, that's rough tonight from LeBron James and company. And New York, stand up. Will the Knicks take a commanding 3-0 lead tonight in Philly? We will tell you why Embiid may have some extra motivation. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. It's your girl, Chinee Ogwumike, here with my crew, Zach Lowe, Ramona Shelburne, Scott Perry. We are presented by American Express. Now, y'all, today is NFL Draft Day.
Yeah.
We all know that the consensus number one pick, Caleb Williams. Now, did you also know that there's only one franchise that has never had the number one pick in the NBA? Any guesses?
Really?
The Miami Heat.
I did not know that's good trivia right there.
J-Jo, credit our researcher, J-Jo. Now, they don't really need a number one pick overall because they've got something called Heat Culture.
Hashtag.
Yes, absolutely. So let's dive in. The Celtics host the Heat for game two with the win, and the Celtics will go up 2-0 on the series. They have a 42-1 series record when taking a 2-0 lead in a best of seven series. But watch this. I mean, Zach, this is beautiful basketball in open court.
Ball doesn't touch the floor. That's what you like. The two J's.
Everything's looking good for the Celtics. Surely nothing went wrong after that.
Surely.
Nothing would ever go wrong. And we also love when they do share the love. Watch this right here. Brown seals the ball, takes it all the way to the basket. Brown and Tatum combined for 39 points in the first half, the second most in a first half since becoming teammates. That's 42. Boston goes into the half leading, and then hold my beer. What did you like, Mr. Scott Perry, in the third quarter as the Heat turned up the temperature?
I thought Tyler Hero played his best game as a professional. He had 14 assists. We know he can score, but he played under control the entire night, and he gave us some defense as well.
He definitely did. But at the end of the day, the Heat made it rain. Now this one, in the third quarter, Hero, he uses the screen, but then gets open.
No one around him.
And then also,
somebody get a hand.
Somebody's got to guard that man. Let's go to the fourth quarter. Miami leads 94-89. Highsmith.
Everybody got nagged last night.
Absolutely. Whether it was Haywood Highsmith, Caleb Martin, that was the Heat right there. 23rd and final three-pointer that tied for the fourth most made in a playoff game in NBA history. The Heat up 105-96. And then again, Tyler Hero. I know it's corny, but we say hero ball. He had a team-high 24 points, 6 three-point field goals made, and 14 assists. Here's the Heat after the win with Bam Adebayo.
For us, we've been doubted a lot through our playoff runs. You know, as people saying, we couldn't do a lot of stuff that we did. So for me and my team, it's like, why lose belief now?
It's the playoffs, and especially with that team, you know, it's never going to go how people expect it to go. And that's the beauty of being in the playoffs and playing at the highest level. It's part of it.
That's part of it. But the Heat, they made a franchise playoff record, 23 three-pointers, and that was the difference. Let me recap it for you, okay, Zach?
Okay.
Miami outscored Boston in the paint in game one, but they did lose. But in game two, they, like, uno reversed it, and they reversed
uno
that trend
reversed it. Okay.
And evened up the series thanks to a playoff record, 23 three-pointers. They outscored Boston by 33 points from deep. So, Zach, how did Miami get all those good looks?
One, they played really well, and two, Boston helped them out a little bit with some bad defense, especially early in the game. This one is a no-no. Don't help off the strong side corner. I don't know what Jaylen Brown is thinking here. You're just giving Nikola Jokic, who's playing well. Young Nikola Jokic, remember he was in the Blazers trade talks, just giving him a strong corner three. You can't do that. The rest, though, is the Heat just playing with force. Tyler Hero, decisive. Look how snappy that is. Snappy enough to force Al Horford onto him. That's a bad matchup. Here comes Duncan Robinson, full speed. They can't switch in time. That's just good, fast offense. And Tyler Hero was on it all night. Here's another one. This is another pick and roll. Boom, boom. And here's what Joe Mazzulla was talking about after the game. Sam Hauser says, I'm not coming out. I'm just going to close out short to you. I don't want you to drive. That was a clear directive from the coaching staff. Caleb Martin Curry was like, I'm just going to make threes.
Caleb Martin Curry, look at this, though. At the end of the day, Miami has been a team that really turns it up in the playoffs, and nothing shows that more than this matchup. The Heat have four games over the last two postseasons where they shot at least 50% from three, and three
insane.
Of those games
That's insane.
Have come against the Boston Celtics.
That makes no sense.
It really doesn't. But you know what actually makes a little bit of sense? So The Athletic actually posted a column asking NBA players, who is the coach that they most likely would like to play for? The answer was Eric Spoelstra. And it really especially shows in moments like this because Boston had a dominant regular season, posting 64 wins, but we did see a few red flags that Coach Spo knows how to really exploit. So, Ramona, does this game, too, kind of validate some of those concerns that we had all over the regular season with Boston?
I don't have concerns about the Celtics. I think they're the most talented team in the NBA. I think that they went out and got Kristaps Porzingis because he is the ultimate advantage, and he had a horrible game yesterday. So I think everybody can have a bad game. He's like 1-for-9. He was a minus 32. Minus 32?
That's got to be a Celtic for the whole season.
That's unbelievable. And they got him for this kind of matchup because usually the Heat last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, they would go zone against them or they would blitz Jason Tatum, get the ball out of his hands. Porzingis is the ultimate advantage. He just wasn't good last night. And so I think I'm going to give them some space here. Everybody can have a bad game. And also, to me, the Heat just shot the lights out. Like, if they're going to make that many threes, which, by the way, they did last year. They did the same thing last year in the Eastern Conference. If they're going to it's going to be hard to beat them. And these two teams are so familiar with each other, as you know, Coach.
Oh, no question about it. But look, let's be clear. The Heat won this game last night. They definitely won the game. And I was so impressed with Eric Spoelstra and how he had his team prepared. You know, when you talk about a guy like Spoelstra being a top coach in this league, he does three things for his team. He gives them confidence, which we saw last night, accountability in a big way, and a structure of how to play. And that was on display yesterday. And I thought they took Kristaps Porzingis out of the game. Eric Spoelstra, as you can see, is 10-3 in game twos. After losing game one, he's 10-3 now. Wow. So that is huge advantage when you have a coach who is proven to make those kind of adjustments. And I don't think they're done making a little noise in this series.
Yeah, that's coaching 101. Confidence, accountability, and structure.
Do they all want to get in past the Heat conditioning test?
Like, no, yeah. I don't know if people like it.
Careful what you wish.
You know what I mean? When you're a veteran, you really have to think through going through all of that. But, Zach, we already saw the defensive side of the ball. What did you notice from Boston on offense?
Do you think Eric Spoelstra would leave the Heat to be my life coach? I think I could use him as my life coach. I don't pay as well as the Heat do. But, look, one thing he did in this game was juggle the matchups around right from jump street, put Bam on Tatum, and put Tyler Hero on Jaylen Brown, which seems like a bad matchup. But remember when the Warriors put Draymond Green on Jaylen Brown and said, go ahead and shoot? Yep. It was their attempt to kind of bait the Celtics into overdoing it with Jaylen Brown. Look at Jason Tatum. Took two shots in the fourth quarter, drew two shooting fouls. There were just too many aimless possessions like that. And the other thing that Hero on Brown did is usually opponents put their weakest defender on Derek White. And Derek White is quietly the engine of a lot of the Boston Celtics' best stuff because of that matchup. He screens for Tatum on and off the ball. They hunt the weak. And without that, Derek White kind of got taken out of the game. And with him, a lot of Boston's motion offense got kind of erased from the game. They were aimless, and they got to be ready for this. But who knows with Spo? He may not do it again. That may have been one time. We're pivoting. You don't know what he's going to do.
And let's not discount the switching that they did yesterday. They aggressively switched on all the ball screens after trapping in game one. Yep. That changed. Pushed them out further, made Boston play more isolation-type basketball. So, hey, let's see who's going to make the better adjustments in game three of Miami going home.
Look, as good as the win was for Miami, it might have been better on social media because Jimmy Butler posted this to his Instagram, photoshopping himself as Jaylen Brown and using his quote from last year's playoff series saying, don't let us get one, quote, feeling cute. Might delete later. Psych, I ain't deleting this. What?
That's like a Photoshop. That's like some effort.
Psych.
Oh, that's you guys. It's psych. That's a funny line, though. But it's never used in the sports context. We'll give you a pass, Jimmy. But
I agree with him. Don't let them get one. These two teams have a long history.
Yes, bad day for one top seed, but a good day for the other. The Thunder made sure they didn't let the Pels get one last night. Now, Chet is the first rookie in the last 25 years with 15 points on 100% field goals in the playoff quarter. Now, looking at this matchup, look at those numbers, too. It's just a team effort. You have Chet, who in any other year, Zach, would be the rookie of the year, but he has a year where he's going up against Victor Wembanyama.
Sorry, Chet. You were awesome, though. And really, this matchup pivots around the centers. And Jonas went to work early, played a little bully ball, but Chet's spacing and off the dribble carried the day. Threes versus twos, they won that matchup. If they win that matchup, they're going to win the series. Jalen Williams is a star. I keep saying it. He's a star.
They've got multiple stars.
They do have a big three. What I liked about the Thunder is that they played their style of basketball. As you were talking about, Zach, they want to bait you into not playing this five-out style that the Thunder like to go to. And Oklahoma City, if they're going to make their shots, they can just stick to their style that made them
But look, this was thunderous.
Okay,
you see what I did there?
Over that shoulder. That's a sternum.
That has 26.7 rebounds, 2 blocks, and here he is after the game.
Obviously we came ready to play tonight, and we're going to get the other team's best punch, especially on their home court next game, so we got to come ready to play. But I got one more thing to say. He's too humble to say it, but this is the MVP right here, MVP of the league. I'm going to say it for him because he won't say it, but that's all I got.
Humble. The Thunder Youth Movement was in full effect last night as they made history. OKC got 124 points, all by players 25 or younger, making them the first team ever to have all their scoring from players that young in a playoff game. So, Scott, the youth is clearly balling out. Did this young Thunder team show you that they're ready to win right now?
Absolutely. And the difference in the series, we just saw him being interviewed, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the point guard position. There's a huge disparity there between these two. Shai has played at the MVP caliber this year and is going to be in the running in years to come. This guy makes great decisions on the basketball floor. No disrespect to C.J. McCollum, who can score the basketball, but he's not a natural point guard. This guy is. He's fearless. He's awesome in clutch time situations.
Ooh.
So, hey, this guy here, Shai Gilgeous, he can take him a long way this year.
Okay, you said clutch time situations. That is an award that will go out very, very soon. So still to come on NBA Today, as we've been mentioning it, more playoff action tonight. Do the Lakers have a scheme issue? We hear about the disconnect that may exist in LA's locker room. Uh-oh, plus, what version of Joel Embiid is needed tonight in Philly's must-win game? Ramona is here with the latest on the reigning MVP. And go New York, go New York, go. Is this truly the year for the Knicks fans now that the Celtics have shown some vulnerabilities, some weaknesses? We discuss that next. NBA Today with your girl, Shanae. We'll be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
The kind of start that the Lakers were looking for. Everything falling for the Lakers.
20-point Lakers lead. There's always moments of truth. And right now, Denver's going through the first moment of truth. They're trying to put the run back into the game.
Bringing a building to life.
This is now the closing.
statistic spin. Can the Lakers hold on? LeBron, three, bullseye.
Back-to-back threes.
Wow. Jokic pump it. One-point game. Knocked away by LeBron. LeBron James drops the sledgehammer. Three-point game. Have gone up 2-0 on the Lakers.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I'm your girl, Chidea Ogwumike, in for Malika Andrews, and that was a heartbreaking loss for the Lakers. Denver has now won 10 straight over LA, 6 of those coming in the playoffs. And there was clearly frustration from the Lakers after blowing a 20-point lead in Game 2. Now, Anthony Davis was critical of their late-game execution, and head coach Darvin Ham was asked about it at practice yesterday. Take a listen to both of them.
We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us.
I just think sometimes the plays don't turn out the way you think they should, and, you know, the frustration sets in a little bit, but I don't think it's for us not being organized. I mean, I think I have incredibly talented coaches all along my staff, and we pride ourselves, whether it's a practice, a shoot around, a film session, a game, whatever, we pride ourselves on being, you know, highly efficient and organized. And so I just chalk that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game and the way it ended and all of that, but, you know, I'll agree to disagree on that one.
The series shifts to LA tonight, and Dave McMenamin will be in the building. So, Dave, what can the Lakers do to really shift the momentum?
Well, Shanae, I mean, you heard those comments. The Lakers, at times this series, have looked like the better team. In the first half of the first two games in Denver, they averaged 59.5 points. The second half of those two games, only 41.5 points. So there's been a drop-off, and Darvin Ham's point has been, we just got to keep executing the stuff that we had been doing it and do it well. Continue to play with pace into the second half. Not do things like roll the ball out in the backcourt to try to dwindle down the clock and get our team out of rhythm. Now, Anthony Davis's point, you read between the lines, is, hey, maybe we have some better instruction so everyone's on the same page as we deal with the Denver Nuggets making adjustments. So, you know, right now we're going to see really the Lakers season either spring new life tonight or basically be put to bed based on what happens in Game 3. And there's not going to be a cavalry coming to save the day. You know, I reported that Jared Vanderbilt is eyeing a return at some point this series. He was hoping perhaps as early as tonight. He's not cleared by the Lakers doctors for the night. There's no Christian Wood, even though we did see him at the practice facility getting up jump shots after practice on Wednesday, but he's not coming either. And the Lakers have kind of given up this tone of complaining about the referees. They realize the referees aren't going to save us either. It's going to be the same group that played in Game 2, and they got to find a way to play all 48 minutes, not just 47 and a half, and allow the Nuggets to steal the game like they did in Game 2.
Yeah, so the Lakers need to play with pace and get points, particularly in the second half, and they have to save themselves. Thank you so much, Dave McMenamin, for joining us and shedding a little light on the status of the Lakers moving forward, because the Lakers need to win Game 3, period. They are 2-25 in series when they're falling behind 2-0 and haven't won a series like that since 2004. Remember, teams are 0-151 in series when going down 3-9.
I remember that 2004 series against the Spurs. That's a Derek Fisher shot.
Remember the Derek Fisher
shot at the end of the game, and he just ran off the court?
Came after the Tim Duncan shot.
And I remember the 2004 finals, too.
Okay, yeah. Those are flashbacks for me. Exactly. I was very, very young during those days, but I'm glad those memories are very fun. Now, the Lakers, they are, y'all, back at home. Yep. They haven't played in Crypto.com since April 9th, 16 Jeez. Days ago. Home court should definitely give them a boost, but it's been 10 straight losses to Denver. So, Ramona, it seems like they need to change something. What is that?
You know, I talked to Darvin Ham about this. What do you need to change? What adjustments? He goes, if we hold the Nuggets to 101 points, we should win that game.
Like, they improved on everything from game one to game two. They feel good about the way that they defended Denver. I think they actually – I even talked to another coach in the Western Conference about how the Lakers play. What would you do? They said they actually played really well. They just need to not go 6 minutes without scoring in the fourth quarter. Like, that fourth quarter was painful to watch. It wasn't just the foul or not foul on D'Angelo Russell. It was that they went for nothing. They couldn't score for 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. You get away from Anthony Davis. I think if they get anything out of Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura offensively, I know those two guys are busy defensively, but they actually played very well in those first two games.
The Lakers have been in position to win both of these games, yeah, to be honest with you, but I think they've got to just – D'Angelo Russell is key to the series. He played well in game two. He's got to play well again. They need something from Austin Reeves in this game from a scoring perspective. And to your point with Anthony Davis, look, I'm disappointed in Anthony Davis saying what he said. I'll be honest with you about that. I'm very disappointed. He's a veteran player. He knows better than that. You're in the middle of a war. You do not publicly point fingers at anyone. Darvin Ham, I know this man. He's very prepared. He's going to have his teams organized. He has a very good staff. So put all this stuff to bed. I think they will and come back and be ready to play.
I'll tell you what. Darvin Ham talked to Anthony Davis privately, right? Mm-hmm. And there was no animosity. He just said, I love you, and let's get back together.
Right.
And then publicly, I think his comments yesterday were sticking up for his coaching staff but not making it a bigger story. I think those two, whatever they needed to say to each other behind the scenes was said, and I think they pivot from it. I think he's right. That was a moment of frustration. I mean, I couldn't even watch that. The end of that game was painful to watch that.
But
like, were you screaming at your TV?
But in fairness, though, we started off the season with the Lakers saying that Anthony Davis needs to be the franchise guy. Mm-hmm. And over the last few years, anytime the Lakers struggle, we keep saying the same thing. They need to get Anthony Davis the ball. In the fourth quarter, he only had one field goal. So I can understand why those frustrations might become vocalized in a way to hold, maybe in a small way, your coach accountable. But Zach, the Lakers, they were very close to taking game two, even with that only one field goal from Anthony Davis. Are there any adjustments that they can make? How are you feeling?
Is this the time in the segment where we talk about the team that wins the game every time they play? I mean, with Lakers this, Lakers that, Lakers coaches, Lakers this. Now, the other team won the championship last year, and they've beaten the Lakers 10 times in a row. The adjustment was made by Denver. Credit to Lakers. They forced the Nuggets to adjust. They put Jokic on Aaron Gordon. Yep. Jokic on Rui Hachimura, rather, and Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis. And the Lakers kind of seemed confused in terms of, okay, do we want to now involve Rui in the pick and roll and attack Jokic? But what does that mean for AD? And they kind of lost the plot a little bit offensively. The big question for tonight is, does Michael Malone come out with that matchup again, or does he pivot back to Jokic on AD? And how do the Lakers respond to either of those things? But look, it's been 10 times in a row. It's cool that they've been in position to win a lot of these games. You get no trophies for that. They got to win one eventually.
It's chess, not checkers, but you're exactly right.
Well, that's why you're the champs.
You're exactly right, Ramona. All of us felt some type of way watching the emotional.
And I just knew Jamal Murray was going to make it,
And you're like,
you're
going to
make it.
I felt deja vu because
it's like
I've seen the movie 10 times in a row.
Since we're talking about deja vu, the Lakers had a heartbreaking loss, but they were not alone. Coming up next, what kind of version of Joel Embiid can we expect tonight in the Sixers must-win game three? We head out live to Philly for a status update on the All-World Center. And there have had to be a heat wave in Boston last night with the way Miami shot that ball. But just how devastating was this loss for the Celtics? Plus, the NBA's Clutch Player of the Year will be announced in just a few hours. Who deserves it most? Find out next right here on NBA Today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Oh, knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead.
I mean, listen to this. This is what we do.
We should be 2-0, so we're good. We're going to win this series.
Madison Square Madness. Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express. The Sixers are in a 2-0 hole right now, but Joel Embiid has remained steadfast despite his mounting injuries and losses. And Tim Bontemps is in Philly for Game 3. So, Tim, do you think the Sixers really believe they can turn this series around?
They do, and Joel Embiid, after Game 2, sitting in the locker room, made it very clear, saying multiple times that he guaranteed the Sixers are going to come back and win this series. And Shanae, if you look at the first two games of this series, Philly feels pretty good, to use a word that's used a lot here, about the process that they had in those games. Obviously, the first game, they gave up a lot of offensive rebounds. That was a big problem, and a big reason why they lost that opening game. But you look at the second game of the series, they dominated most of the game. Jalen Brunson's a combined 16 for 53 from the field. They have really controlled a lot of the game in both of these games, and they feel like they could easily be up 2-0, let alone tied 1-1 if they simply have a better 14 seconds in that final moments of the game in the other night in Game 2. So Sixers overall feel good. They're confident if they stick with what they've been doing, they could get not only a win tonight, but a win on Sunday and send this series back to Madison Square Garden 2-2 for a Game 5 on Tuesday night.
Yeah, but you just said it. The Knicks are up 2-0, and it's crazy that it's been over a decade since they've been in that position in a playoff series. They have to be feeling real good, especially considering that they stole Game 2. Now, if you're in your feelings about that, the league report backs it up. But, Tim, how high right now is their confidence?
Well, the Knicks today are feeling great. They were at Temple this morning shooting around. Obviously, they've got a few big five guys on their team in Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson reminded everybody there that Temple has not made a Final Four, whereas Villanova has a couple banners hanging in this building that those three guys won with the Wildcats. And Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo both talked about the fact that they don't think they've played their best game yet in this series. They pointed to the fact that Jalen Brunson hasn't hit shots. Josh Hart talked about the fact that they have struggled in transition and had several opportunities to score there that they let get away from them, particularly in Game 2. So even though they're up 2-0 in this series, the Knicks not only feel good about where they're at, they feel like they can even get to another level. And obviously coming down here to Wells Fargo Center, what's going to be a raucous environment tonight as the Sixers honor Tyrese Maxey, the most improved player in the league, before Game 3 tonight. The Knicks know they're going to have to play a little better to win one of these two games, take a commanding lead back home, and they feel like they can do that.
You know what I love saying? The Nova Knicks strike again. Thanks so much. Thank you for that. I know. Joel Embiid, though, he says Philly can win the series. But when you watch him moving around the court on that injured knee, it's wild that he's been able to still average in the series 31 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. So, Ramona, how long can he keep doing this?
Okay, part of the reason he looks like he's lumbering out there, that he's laboring, is because when he was out with that knee injury, he's not able to train and be in condition the way that he normally is. So he's a little heavy right now and needs to get that conditioning back. That's why he had to play all 7 games. He also has a gigantic brace on, okay? So when you watch him, that's tough to walk with, that's tough to run with. I think he's playing his way back into shape. The longer they play, the better shape he's going to get in. And when he says things, you know Joel.
Yeah.
Okay? When he said, he didn't just say we can win. He said we're going to win this series. And if I know Joel the way that we've all come to know him over the last couple of years, he doesn't say something like that unless he wants to. That's not a mistake. That wasn't like a, oops, I slipped up and said something too far. That was him being a leader. That's him putting it out there, saying, guys, I am making this proclamation. He knows exactly what it means when you say, I guarantee it. That's his name on the line. And so if he's going to say it, he intends to back it up.
And I also like that yesterday we heard Tyrese Maxey say, hey, we still feel reassured. There's an era of an aura of reassurance in our locker room as well. But the fact of the matter is the Knicks, they maybe had a little luck on their side, some favorable whistles in game two. So, Scott, what's the key for them to really try to close out the series?
Look, the role players have been fantastic for the Knicks, and that's why they're sitting up here 2-0. Josh Hart's played fantastic. Miles McBride looks like the microwave of 2024, the old Vinny Johnson. Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson. They are getting extra possessions on the offensive glass, especially late in games
that right there is unbelievable.
Where Joel is late.
Falling down and finding that in OB.
Exactly. Where Joel is late, but they're taking advantage of that. And that is also, and they're getting to 50-50 loose balls that coaches always talk about. That is what's the difference. Now for Philadelphia, their support players have to do the job when they go home because they tend at home to play better. I must mention Kelly Oubre and Nicholas Batum.
Yep.
They've done an awesome job defending Jalen Brunson, so they can't let up that. They can't let up in that.
They need to get something from Tobias Harris, though.
And Tobias has got to give him 20 points tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they say he's the second highest paid member on that roster? But you're right. The difference in the series so far has truly been the role players. They've been huge for New York, and it's really scary to think that they haven't had a breakout game for Jalen Brunson yet, who's shooting 29% in the series. So Zach, what can they do to get him going?
First, every time you mention the role players, remember that Philly essentially sat out the trade deadline. They only got Buddy Hield. They got all those picks for James Harden. They didn't use him. And part of that, I think, was the mystery of when and what condition will Joel Embiid be able to come back from. So that's one story.
They did try to get Andre Drummond.
I don't know that that's changing their life in this playoff series. On Brunson, they should be worried that Brunson is shooting whatever horrendous percentage he's shooting so far. Because I actually bizarrely kind of like a lot of the looks he's getting. And they can get him switched onto anybody they want. So just one screen. Now I've got Tobias Harris aforementioned instead of Nick Batum. This is a Jalen Brunson money look. Like, that's a 12-footer. He's open. He gets Tobias off balance. They can get Maxey onto him. They can get Tobias onto him. They can get Buddy Hield onto him almost anytime they want. And he's missing good shots. He's going to have a game where he makes a lot of shots. And if that game is tonight, the Sixers might be in trouble.
I mean, I actually, if I'm the Knicks, I feel pretty good that you've won two games without your MVP candidate having a breakout game. He went into the playoffs going 35, 39, 45. I mean, like, and he has not shot the ball well. I think their length has bothered him. I think attention they're paying him has bothered him. But that hasn't stopped him all year, except in these first two games. And for him, he's still at 24. It's not like he's had bad games, but he hasn't had those 39, 45s that he was having.
They're just not efficient games. So he's shooting a poor percentage. But again, I can't say enough about Josh Hart and how he's. Josh Hart shot 51% from three in this series.
True.
And he shot 31 for this.
They've been giving him the three.
And that is their game plan. They're probably going to see if he can hit those on the road. Now.
But on a lot of nights, a lot of teams defend Josh Hart like this. Maybe not this to this extreme. Yeah. And on a lot of games, he won't take them. Like, credit to him. He's like, I got to take them, I'm going to take them, and he's making them.
Yeah, the series continues to advance, and the NBA playoffs first round rolls on, too, with three more game threes tomorrow night on ESPN and the app. The Pacers host the Bucks at 5:30 Eastern. Then it's another series tied at one between the Clippers and the Mavs. We cap the night off, though, with Timberwolves Suns, with Mini up 2-0.
Woo!
The Countdown crew begins our coverage at 5 Eastern, and one of those teams on tomorrow's slate, the Milwaukee Bucks, may be down another key player. Doc Rivers spoke earlier today and gave a status update on Chris Middleton.
Was Chris able to practice?
No.
Okay. Is there any kind of concern there with where he might
be? Yeah, there's a little, for sure.
Okay. Is that something that you're just treatment and see?
It's another holding our breath situation. So, honestly, I don't know.
The Bucks waiting to exhale. Another good movie. Now, Zach, how much trouble are the Bucks in if they don't have Chris Middleton and Giannis tomorrow?
Never seen waiting to exhale. Never seen it.
I got you.
This is an easy one. A lot of trouble. Mucho trouble. Like, without two of their three best players, 1-1. Giannis is the best player on the team going on the road against a team that has beaten you, I think, five out of seven times now this season? Big DEFCON 1 level trouble.
DEFCON 1, uh-oh, that's tomorrow. But let's focus in on the now, because it's a big day in the NBA with the playoffs and also a big day in the NFL. The NFL draft begins tonight at 8 Eastern, and we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft.
I love that.
All 3 days, I love it too, are also live on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Still to come right here on NBA Today, Big Perk may not be on the show today, but he sent in his big thoughts on Boston.
Oh, boy. Okay, Perk.
Find out how concerned our resident big man is for his former squad.
Carry on.
Carry the hell on.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
The Heat even the series with Boston 1-1. All it took was a franchise record 23 three-pointers on 53% shooting. Miami, of course, knocked Boston out last year in similar fashion in the East Finals. Now, Big Perk isn't on the show today, but you know he couldn't stay quiet after this one. Take a listen.
Every single time, I started to put a little trust in the Boston Celtics. And here we go again. The brooms. Think about the brooms. This was supposed to be a sweep. Y'all the far better team. No Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier. But damn it, here my big dumb ass go again. Knowing I know better. Knowing that Eric Spoelstra and Joe Mazzulla is a damn matchup. Eric Spoelstra had them boys ready to go, and they showed out in great fashion. Look, Celtics, man, why can't y'all do right?
So the brooms, they inspired us. Before the show, Zach and I were saying, what's our favorite game with brooms? Supermarket sweep?
There's no brooms in that.
Oh, there's not? But
shopping.
Like, it sort of goes with the name of it. So let's play a game, y'all. Fill in the blank. So I'll give you a statement with a blank space, and then everyone writes your answer down on the board. We'll reveal them all together, and the best one gets a few moments of your time.
Okay.
Got it? Good. No peeking at everyone else's answers, okay? First up, the Celtics game 2 loss was blank. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Game 2 loss was
Heedy. I made up a word.
Heedy. Expected.
Yeah.
Concerning. Even though that's a good word, why was it expected?
Because this is what the Celtics and Heat do. Every year they play each other, they have a great series. Like, I liked his too.
Okay, sorry. I'll cede some time to you, Zach.
But listen.
This is just Heat voodoo. Like, yes, 23 threes. Who? Haywood to Highsmith did what? Caleb Martin Curry? Did he juggle the matchup? Spo out coaches. This is what they do.
Well, you should have wrote.
Again, expected.
You should have wrote voodoo instead of Heedy. That would have gotten
Heedy.
You the first
Heat-esque.
All right, next one. Heat-esque. The NBA Clutch Award will be awarded to.
Oh, well, the NBA Clutch Award has the 3 nominees, but who is the most clutch player now?
Yeah. Let's see. Who is it? Oh, we've got one response for Jamal Murray, SGA, Joker. Ooh, I'm going to give this one to you, Scott.
Hey, this guy had 23 clutch time wins this year.
Mm.
He game winner at Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
Game winner at the Denver Nuggets to clinch the season series against OKC. And that's why they have the number one seed. And he just did it in the first game in the playoffs here against New Orleans. Case closed.
Okay, well, why are you asking, Zach, why are you pointing at the Joker?
Because the answer is the Joker, even though he's not one of the finalists. He's the best clutch player in the NBA, shot 42 of 76 in the last 5 minutes of close games, 55%. He will go down as the best clutch time big man in the history of the NBA when it's all said and done.
Okay,
how went with Jamal, who just hit that shot that we all know he was going to hit?
Okay, I did vote for Steph Curry in this one on my ballot. But because your word heaty was so good, I want to go back to the previous matchup. How about this? The Heat will win blank amount of games in this series. All right, let's see it. Oh, one, two, three. Momo, why three?
I'm going Boston in seven. This is what these two teams do. I don't care what their seeds are. I don't care what your regular season record is. I don't care who's injured. Jimmy's injured this year. Tyler was injured last. It's going seven. This is what they do.
I'm not mad at that one. I thought about it, but I know they're at least good for one more, the Heat.
But so you were polite to the Heat. You took the safe middle road. I'm going to tell it like it is. This is going to be a wake-up call for the Celtics. They're not going to lose another game in this series. Wonderful job by the Heat to get a game. Perk is right. They shouldn't by any measure be able to get a game off the one.
Zach is standing on business like Perk.
Oh, yeah.
Said.
He exactly. is standing, standing on
no, look, the Heat are incredible. They're just undermanned. They're undermanned.
We need to talk about a series, though, that is not being talked about enough. No team in the Magic-Cavs series has scored 100 points
oh, my
yet.
God.
And Orlando has topped out at 86. So the Magic
86?
Will drop.
Exactly.
Okay, here's the question.
Like
the Magic
basketball.
It is. The Magic will drop blank points at home tonight. Oh, no one's breaking the plane. We've got 100, 94.
92.
And yeah, 92. Let's start with 100. Why?
They're going back home. I know they're not a great shooting team, but I think the young team like this will relax. They'll be energized by the home crowd. So I'm going to give them 100 points. They averaged 107 points a game against Cleveland during the regular season.
Okay, let's break it down. We went to 94.
Look, they're better at home. And I think that they obviously need help offensively. And in the playoffs, things slow down. Cleveland has a good defense. But 86 is ridiculous.
Well, that's what it is ridiculous. 93, we're all going over on 86.
Okay, okay.
I'll be the mean one again and just say 92.
Well, that's on brand, Grumpy Zach, but I had to throw my own question in here. So it is NFL draft day. So I'm going to ask you all this. If you had to draft anyone from ESPN to be on your team.
My basketball team or my football team?
No, just your team of life.
Oh, my team.
Team of life. Anyone that works at ESPN to be on your team. Who are
this
you?
This is drafting? A horrible question.
It's a great
what
question.
Kind of question is that?
No, okay, I will write my choice because it's NFL draft day. This is my choice. I'm going to go up to camera four.
Well, I can't.
Oh, you can't see it? Can I see your marker?
No, you can't.
I'm putting Mina. I love Mina Kimes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm showing her love on NFL. Come on, y'all. Pick somebody. Who do you want to show love to here at ESPN?
We're going to go with the football.
I'm going with somebody that nobody knows, but everyone should.
Oh, love this. Okay, we've got you. Oh, wow. Pay me, right?
Exactly.
He's where the money resides. Zach Lowe with my boss.
Okay.
That's my answer, too. Pay all of us. Momo, you go
know
with.
Stacey Pressman.
I love
Stacey. That's my girl.
Pressman, the real MVP.
Whenever you see anybody who is on a commercial that's an ESPN commercial, like it's for a show, that's who put them there. That's who gets all the guests on our shows.
Okay, we got Swagoo.
I'm going to go with I have not met Swagoo yet, but I love the work he does.
Got
I'm a
it.
Big
you haven't even
fan.
Met him and he gets your pick?
But I scouted him when he was a young person. Exactly.
Look, that was a good question. No shade, Grumpy Zach. Now, I love finding out on days like this who will be the steal of the draft. A great example is Nikola Jokic. He was the 41st pick.
Oh, my God.
He got drafted during a Taco Bell commercial and now is once again a favorite for MVP, lowest drafted MVP in NBA history. Coming up next, are the Nuggets about to sweep?
I thought I look really good that day. I put on this beautiful suit that said, I mean business.
Like the one you're wearing?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't.
Then why bring it up?
Because they won't leave me alone.
They?
Guys, I'm not your boss.
Illumination's Despicable Me 4.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this.
McKissick helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
It's now time for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. All three games tonight feature teams up 2-0. Jalen Brunson and the Knicks head into Philly. So, Ramona, who you got in this one?
I'll go with the Sixers on this one. This is at home. Joel Embiid guaranteed it. Let's see if he's a man of his word.
Guarantee, my favorite word in the NBA postseason. How about this? Next up, the Cavs have held the Magic in check the first two games. They are back in Orlando, though, tonight. So, Zach, can the Magic make a bounce back?
They can, but I'm picking the Cavs. I think the Cavs, after last year's embarrassment in the first round, smell this one. They're not going to mess around. They go sneak it out, low-scoring war again. Cavs go up 3-0.
Not going to mess around like they did in the last game of the year?
Did you say smell this one? Awkward.
They can smell it. They can smell
they
the
can
second
smell
round.
It. Awkward. Okay, I can smell you. And Scott, do the Nuggets take a commanding 3-0 lead, or do the Lakers take one finally back at home?
I am going with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Ooh.
Finally getting over the hump. I know they're 0-10, but they've been right there on the road with the chance to win both those games, and I think they finally get over the hump.
That's who we have. Who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. So let's stick with the Nuggets and the Lakers series here. Ramona, what is the most likely outcome? We've got sweep on the table. They could go to 7. I like the gentleman sweep, too, as a term. What do you think?
I think the most likely is the gentleman sweep. I think they get one game. I think I picked Denver in 6. What's the name? Do we have a name for, like, when you win in 6? What's that called?
Competitive series? I don't know. No.
Yeah, that's normal just a good series. Yeah.
When we won in Detroit, we called it a 5-game sweep when we went to Lakers. Because
we thought
they sold one here.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Exactly.
I think the Lakers will get one game at some point, but I don't know. Scott, you're picking with your heart, not your head on that one.
The Nuggets are really good.
If they get one game, Zach, is this the game that they get?
Ooh. It better be, because if they don't get this one, it don't really matter if they get the next one, other than a nice sort of honorable 5-game loss going back to Denver. This is their only chance to make it a competitive series. And just behind the scenes, I'm glad we added gentleman sweep as an option, because at first it was going to be sweep or 7 games. And I was going to take Nuggets in 3 as an alternate answer. 7 games. Like, they got to beat them once before we start talking about 7 games.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a 5-game series.
5 is the right answer.
I think it's going to be a 5. I think the Lakers do win tonight, but then after that, I see Denver just being too powerful, too good in too many areas.
If it is a 5-game series, as we like to call a gentleman sweep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What does that, you know, say about the Los Angeles Lakers, their hopes, aspirations? They came in playing so well into the play-in/playoffs, and they just ran into the Denver Nuggets.
I know. I mean, you want to win a championship, which is your stated goal every single year, you have to go through Denver. That is, they are the defending champs. They should be favored in every series they play until somebody beats them. And so I think the fact that if they lose them in the first round versus the conference finals shouldn't matter, but it probably will. I think there's already some talk of, you know, what do you do to the roster? Did this fit right? Did they finally get healthy? What happens to the coaching staff? I think everything's on the table for them because of where the expectations are and the amount of talent that's on this team. But if I were them, I think they finally rounded into form with all the injuries and trades that they've
This is the one team that they didn't match up with in the West.
Nobody does.
Exactly, nobody. Yeah, but and reason being, Denver is really good in their starting 5.
Yeah.
The Lakers have LeBron and AD, but not enough to compete with them.
But what I do like is we do have a good core 4 here today. And today we played a game. I called it Supermarket Sweep with the Brooms and made it to fill in the blank. So, final thing, what is the best game show? Fill in the blank. The best game show is... All right. Oh, okay. Scott's got Family Feud. Momo, press your
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
And then what do you have, Zach? Oh, Jeopardy. Yeah, my choice was Family Feud, but I did grow up with Nickelodeon, Legends of the Hidden Temple. Did you guys ever watch that?
No.
Shout you get Alex slime.
Trebek, the goat. Oh, Alex slime. Trebek, the goat.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. I also love Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
I don't know. Press your luck, but everybody's shows. Like, oh,
I do. I got a game show network.
Exactly.
Jeopardy.
Enjoy the draft. We'll see you tomorrow.
Not as good as that.